Greetings to saints around the world in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. I just want to share quickly and briefly with us from the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 15 and 16. We're still looking and continuing along the thoughts of risk taking along God's will or in the line of God's will. Now, I'll just call this little topic "What if?" So it's a question. I read Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 13 to 16. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country," this is my emphasis, "and truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they had come out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city." So what if? Now, the X factor, the X factor, I would say, for God's children, or the person that God favors. So I'm using the X factor in the true sense of it. X factor means something special, something extraordinary. So the X factor Christian, the one that has this special favor with God, is the one that's sold out to him. Read any book of the Bible, any history of any notable Christian. There have been those that have had this attitude, completely sold out to the Lord, completely taking the risk within the promise. So taking the risk of following God according to God's will. So we're not talking about foolish risk. We're not talking about risk that is self-promoting, but risk that are inculcated in God's promise and his word. So I give you an example when he says, "Those that live godly in Christ will suffer persecution." So if you want to live godly in Christ, you must be ready to take the persecution, whether it's small or big, medium size, but you're guaranteed that this is going to happen. And so when you're following him, you already have the mindset that this is going to happen. I'm going to take it on my chin. So you're not wondering what will happen or what do I do when it happens. You already made up your mind before it happens that I'm taking this on my chin. This is not going to stop me. It will not hinder me. It will not delay me. It will not distract me. My eyes are set towards the goal. So here we see, he says that God is not ashamed to be called their God. So when the Bible says that God is not ashamed of somebody, or God is proud to be identified with somebody, or God trusts somebody, if God can trust a man, you know, he called Abraham, which means that Abraham was predestinated. God chose him. But after God had chosen him and had even used him, God still proved him and said, "Go sacrifice Isaac." And it was only after Abraham was going to carry it out that God said, "Now I know." Now I know. That means God trusted him. That's the X factor Christian. So the Bible is telling us here that what makes these people X factor? What makes God to be proud to be their God? God to always stand on their right hand? Is because these people were not mindful of where they were coming from. Because if they were thinking, calculating it, that, okay, look, if where we're going is no longer possible, or is faced with too much trouble, we can always go back. So it's like sometimes you migrate to another country and you think, look, if life becomes unbearable here, I've got a place that I've come from, I can always go back. So these people did not have that option. Not because it wasn't available, but they had shut that door, they had burnt that bridge. So he said, I'm going with God, I'm sold out. If I die in the wilderness, I die in peace. I die doing God's will. If the world does not celebrate me, I'm not looking for that. I want heaven to celebrate me. So he says God was not ashamed to be called their God because they were not mindful of where they were living, even though it was the best civilization there was, and they were heading for nowhere. In fact, this was a completely foolish decision by the standards of the world, by any kind of standard. It's a foolish decision, leaving that which is sure and reliable for that which is unknown. The common proverb says, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. You don't know what's ahead, you don't know what's there, but you've gone because God said go. And you've given up the thing that you're holding. So let's be mindful that I'm not speaking of foolish, uneducated, unlearned risk that some people take under the pretext or under the misunderstanding that they're doing God's will. But we're saying God's known will, especially something that he has declared in his word. We don't need to have an open door to return. We don't need to have a plan B that, okay, look, if this doesn't work out or it gets too hot or it gets too difficult, I can always fall back on this. With God, it's plan A, plan A, plan A, plan A, going forward. Because if I perish, I perish. That's what Esther said. You just have to have that sense of stubborn determination. This is God's word. I must see it come to pass in my life. If he says he will give the Holy Ghost to them that believe, and I believe, I must have that Holy Ghost. If he says that he will give the Holy Ghost to them that are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost, and this promise is for you and to many generations afar, then it must be. There's just no option. There's no compromise, no wiggle room. See, God is not a lawyer or a businessman or somebody who has written out a contract, you know, that has 100 pages and there's some fine print. You know, many times when we do things these days, like you sign up for an app or you a contract, they give you 40, 50 pages and you sign it without reading it half the time. Or you buy a computer and you're using it for the first time and it's doing all that it does. It just says click this button to accept the user agreements. You just click and click. I don't know anybody who has sat down to read what Apple has said in the computer or the Apple devices when you're operating it for the first time. You just click and move on. Now, God is not the kind of person who has this fine print that he's going to come and confront you later and say, oh, yes, I know you signed this, but there's this clause here and there's this other clause or this number 2A B1 clause here that you didn't see. God's word is open and transparent. If he says it, he means it. And if he says it, you can hang your eternal destination on it. Because we have failed to come with that kind of determination, it's many times why it seems that the power of God is missing or the word is not fulfilling itself. You see, the word of God becomes the power of God when you act on it. Otherwise, it remains mere words. That's why it says the letter kills, but the spirit giveth life. The word, when it's acted upon, becomes the power of Almighty God. And that is unstoppable. Because except we're comparing God to mortal men, a man can give a word and take it back, but God's word, yeah, if he takes it back, then he automatically ceases to be God. But God is not a man, so we don't have to worry about him withdrawing his promises. Anyway, it's already written, it cannot be taken back. So the X factor for Christianity in any age is them that have no return route to where they're coming from on the basis of God's word. Now, I'll just quickly mention a good case in the book of Joshua chapter 3 verse 14. Now, if you look at this passage, they were going to cross the Jordan under the leadership of Joshua. And it's interesting that God said in Joshua chapter 3 verse 15, "And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bear the ark, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood up and rose up on a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan." The point here being that God had said, okay, look, you're going to cross the Jordan. The natural expectation would be, okay, we wait until God opens the Jordan. But God said, everybody pack up and start heading towards the Jordan. So they had unpacked their tents and they were going. Naturally, I would prefer that, okay, open the Jordan and then we move. But God, you move first. Then he backs it up. You move first. You have to act first. That's why faith without works is dead. There has to be something in addition to what you believe. Something that's actable or demonstrable. Either in what you say, think, do, or act. Something has to be demonstrable to change the word of God into the power of God. That's the connecting bridge between what is expected and what comes to pass. So it was until the priest had their feet in the Jordan. I wonder what the priest must have been thinking. What if the Jordan didn't open? Then it will be a national embarrassment for Joshua, for the priest, for the whole of Israel. Joshua could have thought, oh my goodness, my reputation is lost forever. The priest would have thought, hang on, I'm the one putting my leg in this water. It could sweep me off. This Jordan overflows his bank anyway. It would just swallow me up and I'm dead. Look, I don't think I'm ready to go. Let Joshua go first. But the order of the Lord was let the priest go first. So what if they could have asked? The people who left the city and were going somewhere could have thought, oh, what if? I mean, it makes natural sense to think, if this place doesn't work out, what do we do? What if? So that kind of runs in our subconscious as people concerning God's word. What if this thing doesn't happen? What if this person is not healed? What if this prayer thing doesn't work? What if? It is that what if that stops us from being X-factor Christians and completely neutralizes the word of God, completely neutralizes the power of God, because God will not cast his pearls before swine. He wants people that are totally committed, so that God will be proud to say, this is my son, this is my daughter, and act on their behalf. And then in closing, I'll just mention another scripture here. John chapter 6 verse 67. What if? This is after Jesus had fed people, multiplied loaves, and they came back to him and he said, except you eat my flesh and my blood, you shall have no part in me. Now remember, the people who ate these loaves were happy with Jesus and they wanted to make him king. But they were not so much interested in the leadership of Jesus in their life. They were just looking at, get rid of the Romans, let us have our Jewish king. They were not looking at what Jesus was looking at, being reconciled to God. And so, anyway, we all know the story. They left Jesus after he said, except you eat my flesh or drink my blood. But now, he said to John, John 6, verse 67. And Jesus said unto the 12, where will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. So you can see Peter here had such, there was an opportunity to go back. Something had happened, there was an opportunity to go back. I remember walking in a particular place and I had made up my mind to leave due to certain circumstances that the owner of the place was not keeping his contract with me. And as soon as there came an unrelated situation where something happened and the police had to be called, I had to I needed some protection at that moment, and the police had to attend. I just used that as an excuse to resign from the company. I just said, oh, look, there's safety issues here. And I left. But deep inside of me, the reason I left was because the contract that they signed with me, they were not keeping it. So, same thing here. You know, Peter had an opportunity and the others to leave at this time. This is a good time to leave. This is what he said. Look, where shall we go? I mean, everywhere is closed. All the doors are closed. We're sure that you have eternal, the words of eternal life will stay with you till the end. And that made them, you know, these are golden Christians who stood out in the work of the Lord, and the Lord commended them. And one other example that comes to mind is Daniel chapter 3, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we know the story, were asked to bow before the image of Daniel, the prophet, which was the image that Nebuchadnezzar made. And the boys said, the young men, they said, look, we will not be careful to answer you in this matter. So don't bother giving us a second and a third chance. We don't need them. Our answer is consistent. Our God is able to save us. But even if he's not interested in doing that, we're completely sold out to this. We're completely sold out to this agenda. And let whatever is going to happen, happen. And you see, it brought God on the scene. So when you're genuinely, or I'm genuinely, acting in this mindset of God's word, that I'm taking God at his word, even if I'm going to appear foolish in Australia, I'm going to appear foolish in Zimbabwe or Nigeria or wherever place, no. God bless you all and have a wonderful day, whatever time it is in your place around the world. Amen.